and found like now. And so she's going to be cutting my hair again, and she is precise. She's a Capricorn. I like the way she cuts hair.
So this is my third time getting my hair cut this year too, Kinsey.
Yeah, our hair grows fast, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, Kinsey, the struggle is you and I, we, especially when it comes to main characters, like, we try to be, like, the main character, main love interest who always has, like, the long hair, you know, like, 02 vibes. Like, we're not going for, like, the second. I mean, Sakura is an exception, but listen, my point is it never looks like that when it's actually that long. If you look IRL, if you look IRL, bitches that have that length of hair, their hair is always flat looking or frizzy looking because of all the dead ends when they actually grow really, really long. And the reality is it's like, do you want length or do you want it to actually look cute and voluminous and fall in just the right places?
Your hair every day, which then eventually damages it, or if you wear a wig, long hair is so hard to keep up with, and I'm so tired of it. And I'm like, yeah, let's just go with the short hair. I also like the way short hair looks when you, like, put little clippies in it and stuff like that. Like, and then on top of it, I have a short body. And I never knew this, but, like, my long hair really does not help the way I look as a whole. Like, if you're looking at outfit silhouettes, like, it actually makes me look even shorter than I am.
Mm-hmm. You know what I found out?
What?
That men like when I have long hair, so I think I should keep it short.
Dude. Like, it is so funny, too, because to the feminine gaze, I think that you rock short hair. Like, honestly, the way that you rock it, it fits your style so much better than the long hair. I'm not saying that it wouldn't ever look good on you. It's just the way you style your entire outfit.
You've never seen my long hair styled.
True.
I think women tend to like the way short hair looks on other women more anyways, and it's because we're sitting here looking at the shape and the way it's cut and how cool it is, and like usually long hair, because it's so long, you can't really do a whole lot to it unless you want to like
do Maya crazy does currently crazy. Have the coolest cut like out of all of us, like when it comes to like a unique like anti-man one, especially like it's definitely cooler. Like I got that basic ass, like it wants to do half a Sabrina thing.
Thank you.
The only way I can even make my hair look interesting is if I was to dye it. Like, my hair type does not, like, do well with just any
cut. Or get the pixie cut.
Either I get a pixie cut, and I look you know, I get, like, a Vi pixie cut, or the ones that are really... There's
oh,
tons
my
of
gosh, Kinsey with a Vi pixie cut?
Bro, that'd be fucking...
Or dye my hair. That's the two options I have, because my hair are just naturally flat.
If you had to dye your hair, Kinsey, what color would you dye it?
Speaking of Vi.
I'm going to dye my hair. I wouldn't even dye all of it. I would do, like, the under half of it. Or I would do, like, I always like when people do, like, the really cool tips. But with intention, where it kind of streaks up, you know?
That'd be cool. I support
it. I don't know. I would do something that looks, like, alternative. I wouldn't... Oh, I really want calico hair. Have you seen calico hair?
I have not. Let me look that up.
Kaylin, what are we looking at right now?
This is what your hair reminds me of. Okay, so they take the candy. I'm skipping through. They make, like, a hole in it, like a donut.
I wish people could see this video on our podcast.
Yeah, you can't be pulling up this stuff because the listeners can't watch.
Anyways, the whole point is they start... It's called Dragon Beard Candy, and they start with, like, a ball of hardened sugar. Like, it's like, slightly hard. It's, like, what do they call that? Mid? Anyways, and he, like, stretches it out, and it, like, kind of becomes, like, a rope, okay? Anyways, and then he starts doing this thing where he, like, doubles it back on itself, and the more he doubles it back on itself, look up Dragon Beard Candy, you'll see what I mean. It gets thinner and thinner. Look how thin it gets. This is Kinsey's fucking hair, dude. That's what it is.
There's a lot of it, though.
Like, did you see how, like, wispy it is?
Yeah, it's very wispy, very light. Like, it's everywhere.
That's you, dude.
That's exactly what my hair looks like when you try to separate it.
I've brushed Kinsey's hair before, and it is, in fact, a whole workout.
Dude, it's just this is what I think of when I think of Kinsey's hair, and I'm like, that poor girl. I always think that. I'm like, that poor girl.
As Mariah, but my hair type is just so difficult to deal with. So, yeah, I'd have to have a pixie cut or a really hot, you know, French bob. Or I'd have to dye my hair if I wanted to be cool. But I don't know. If I were to dye the color, Mariah, I think what I would start with is I'd start with half of my hair, like the underside of my hair, I'd want it to be platinum.
Ooh, that'd be a cool look.
Or I would do calico hair, which would be like a very, very intense.
Calico, and I think that you would look so cute with that.
I know, but the thing about calico hair, Mariah, is you can get fucked really easily. Like, I've seen calico hair where I'm like, that's exactly what I want. Those are the correct shades, the correct, like, formation of spots. Not that it can be the same every time, but, like, that person totally has, like, the intuitiveness to make it cool again. Then I've seen other hair where it kind of looks like the early 2000s, where instead of doing spots on the hair in sections, they take strings of the hair. Like, have you ever seen those ball caps where you can pull hair through them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll do that, and they'll make them all blonde. Then they'll do it again, make them all red, and do it again, and make them all black. So then it just looks like a bunch of straight strings that are completely different colors, like spaghetti. If you had, like, multicolor spaghetti, that's not what I want. If I got calico hair, I would want it to be, like, spots, like a cat, all over my head.
Mm-hmm. If only hair dye wasn't so permanent. Kaylin, if you had to dye your hair, what color would you dye it?
Silver.
I've been trying to get Kaylin to do her money shots for, like, 3 years.
I honestly, at this point in this age, I feel like Colin and I are going to get married in the next few years, and I want my natural brown hair. After that, I will be doing shit to my hair again.
Yeah, especially once my hair starts turning gray, and it's not, like, the cool gray yet, I'm going to be doing whatever I want to it.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't want to go through the process of, like, dyeing it brown or whatever. Like, I just kind of want whatever's my natural hair just to kind of look back and be like, yep, that was my natural hair color while I'm out here with, like, pixie pink hair as grandma. Like, that's what
that was my natural color.
That's what I looked like, youngins. Like, that's the only reason.
Before I'm 40, I'm going to buzz my hair off.
I'd be, like, bald.
Mariah's hair choice was the most extreme out of all of us.
Can I please do the SpongeBob meme once? Bald. Maybe.
Depends on how I feel in 5 years.
Okay, like, emotionally, like, if it's, like, too, like, not funny, we won't do it. Yeah, and it's
Is, Kaylin, is when I buzz my head off, if I look good or bad, we'll decide if that joke is funny.
I see.
Yeah. We'll see. But if
I have a prediction that within
if you don't like it, you could always wear wigs.
The next
I'm
2 years.
I'm too lazy for that. Come on now, I don't even do my own hair. What's your prediction, Kinsey?
Within the next 2 years, I think I'll be cutting my hair very short.
Ooh.
Mariah's like.
I mean, I think the problem is you don't have short hair, so then like you go shorter, and you're like, guys, I don't hate it. Maybe I'll go a little shorter.
The last time she cut her hair short was for a man, so she has trauma with short hair.
I have trauma with it, for sure.
See, Kinsey, I know you.
I cut it in the... Well, that's not the only thing, so you don't know all of me, but I cut it...
The other part of it was because your family, especially the women in your family, validated long hair only.
Nope. Incorrect.
Okay, fine. Guess I don't know you.
For a man... In the most Bermuda Triangle area ever. I went from having long cheerleader hair to, like, a really awkward length that was, like, made me feel ugly. So I was like, oh, my God, I'll never do this again. Then before that, early on in my life, my mom made me feel like shit about my hair. She's like, you never take care of your hair. So she always gave me bobs, guys. Like,
oh, I knew this story.
I wasn't even allowed to have my hair down to my shoulders. Like,
I knew it was your family, but I twisted it.
So hear me out. I'd go out, play. And I brush my hair before I go out, and I'd already noticed my hair was messy within the first 30 minutes. Run back inside, brush my hair, go back outside, play again.
Oh my
God. Hair's fucking shit ash storm again. Go back inside, brush my hair. Did it several times a day. Got to the point of breaking down crying autism, bro. And I was like, dude, I don't know what's going on. I was told you just have to brush your hair like maybe twice a day, and I've already gotten up to like 10 times. And Jasmine's over here looking like fine. Like she doesn't look hit the way I look hit. And then my mom would be like, you just don't take care of your hair. Like, we're going to go get you a bob. And I'd be so sad every time. And then the second one, the most traumatic one, actually.
It was just her not wanting to, like, fucking help you.
The first time I cut my hair for a man, Kaylin, that wasn't the first time. The first time was in 7th grade. I had a crush on this guy. And I was trying to get him to notice me, and it seemed like nothing I did made it work. So I talked to my mom. I was like, Mom, what do I do? What'd you do to get guys to notice you? And she was always telling us about her youth, how hot she was, however you wanted her. She's like, you know what I do? Change my hair, and they would be forced to look at me. And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's go get my haircut. Maybe I can get a hot haircut where I feel really cool. Told the lady what I wanted. Like, literally, it was, like, some sort of, like, cool edges on the bottom. Something to look kind of like, you know, curtain bangy, right? Because my hair at the time was about down to my nipples. It was the longest I ever had it. Left that chair with a fucking bob again. And this was in seventh grade, so this is the first time I'd ever grown my hair out, you know, for an extensive amount of time. And when I saw that bob, I started crying in the mirror. I went to school. Next day, he told me I looked like a mushroom. Like, I was sitting next to him sweating.
I
would have
been traumatized.
I was sweating. I was like, oh my God, what's he going to think? And he said, you cut your hair. And I was like, yeah. And I'm sitting there waiting for the drum roll of his response. He's like, you kind of look like a mushroom. And then went back to doing his work. And I was like, I went home crying. And I screamed at my mom. And I vowed that haircut that I would not cut my hair again. And that's how I grew it all the way out. Eighth grade through high school.
Hopefully, but then I cut it again
for another guy in college.
Hopefully when you're ready for that big of a chop, like, whatever length it ends up being, like, what's considered short to you, I hope it is for no other reason other for yourself. That way you can enjoy it to its fullest.
Thank you.
Even if you end up not preferring it after you try it, it's like, hair grows back.
Dude, hair grows back, and it actually doesn't even take that long.
I love how we don't need talking points. Like, we just go on and, like, we always bring up childhood stories.
Talking points were if something got flat and we didn't have anything to speak. That's why I said don't get too attached to them.
Well, I have seven, but I don't have to talk about any of them.
So that's your fault for bringing seven to the table.
I don't know.
Yeah, that is your fault. Oh, my gosh. It was just in case we sat here awkwardly, like, hold on, I'll demonstrate what it would have been like if we sat here awkwardly. Kaylin, how do I do the sound effects again?
Hold on, I'll beat you to it, actually.
No, you won't.
Ah, damn it.
That's what it would have been like if we didn't come here
for reference, audience, we've just played cricket. Audio sounds. You can't hear them.
Started
so
fucking stuttering
out.
Again. Oh, this is what happens when I get really tired. So I can't. Funny. Why am I like this?
So funny.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I just had to yell at my Virgo.
No, your Virgo had to yell at you.
Yeah. Kinsey, you didn't text me back on your lunch break today.
You know what I did on my lunch break, man? I left my body.
Okay, well, did you read about the two moons?
No, I literally went and sat by the river and left my body and enjoyed.
Well, we currently have two moons in our orbit at the moment, Kaylin. I don't know if you heard. Also, speaking of earthly things, if everyone goes outside tonight, you're supposed to see the auroras.
Aurora borealis?
What time, though?
They said from now until 11, bro. But they,
bitch, what am I doing on this podcast? Goodbye.
I would go closer to 11 simply because it's going to be easier.
She said closer to 11, ding dong.
Closer to 11 though, because it'll be darker and supposedly easier to see.
Well, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna go look at them.
Yeah, Kaylin, if I were you, I would go closer to the lake.
Mm.
It might be easier to see. But anyways, we currently have basically a rock that's really large that's stuck in the moon's orbit. So we actually have two moons right now. Isn't that crazy? Like, do you think that's affecting us astrological? Like, imagine the moon's in Cancer, this other moon's in Virgo at the same time. I'd kill myself.
I wouldn't say so, because it's just a small rock, and it's all jaggedy and messed up. And if you think about it, the moon has enough of an effect to Earth that, you know, that's the reason we have ocean waves. But this little fucking asteroid doesn't have the beef that the moon does, so I don't think it should.
Well, it'll be there for 2 months.
Like, if you think about it, the asteroid is rotating around the moon, and the moon is rotating around the sun. So, really, like, the moon's rotating around the Earth. So, like, if you think about it, hierarchy-wise, like, Earth is, like, top, then moon, and then little asteroid who just got stuck on the moon's
orbit.
Yeah,
but the asteroids always are, like, you know, there's something astrological. That's why we have so many asteroids that people randomly, like, look up.
I do think it's, if you're asking me astrologically, I think it totally is implying some sort of change, but I don't think it has the kind of power over us the way, like, the moon does. I just think, like, kind of like eclipses and stuff, that's potentially what this asteroid could kind of represent to me astrologically, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to
show my man Evan Nathaniel speaks about it.
What did he say?
I don't know. When he does, I don't know it's real.
I just got onto this thing called Destiny Matrixes, like Destiny of Matrix. It's the new... So numerology is a huge thing in astrology as well.
Yeah.
It's like it's closely related. And I have never really gotten into numbers because, you know, I have number dyslexia.
Yeah, same.
And it just seems like a lot of work to learn. And I already learned all of astrology and natal charts. I mean, there's more to learn. That's the sad part. Like, there's always so much more. And I was like, I think this is all I can deal with right now. And tarot cards, like, shit. Like, I'm about filled up in my brain. But I was fucking around with that today, actually, just, like, learning about it. I'm, like, an Arcana 8, which is your main number, and apparently the numbers refer to the major arcanas, so mine is Strength, which is really cool. That's, like, my number card for my whole life.
Isn't that, like, also represented by Leos, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I also think is crazy, because I'm a Leo rising.
Can you tell me mine right now?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, well, I looked up to see if anyone's talked about the moon while Kenzie's looking this up, and I got nothing. They just said that it could affect Libra stuff since it's happening during Libra season. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it says that the event will 96.
Okay.
Event will intensify our yearning for emotional validation, and it will inspire deeper introspection and a stronger desire for clarity and fresh starts. Fuck this mini ass moon.
What time were you born?
1:27 a.m. To all the listeners that just got my time of birth and date, if you put things together, if you're an avid listener, you know what time I was born and what day I was born. So have fun with my chart.
City.
You know what I'm not okay with?
Shut up. What city, Mariah?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. You can talk now, Kaylin.
I'm not okay with thinking, like, imagine if I could breathe in outer space and swim in it. And let's say I could survive the millions of years it would take to travel in space to get from one point to another, like, specifically other galaxies. Like, there would be different zodiac signs in those galaxies, and would that make me, like, implode?
Yeah, I mean, even if you think about it now, it's kind of crazy.
Anyways, I was just saying I'm not okay with that.
You're a number 6 person.
Number 6, everyone.
What's the 6th major arcana?
I think I know that shit. I'm the planet person. Kaylin's supposed to be the tarot card person in our group. It's the lovers.
Oh,
I wasn't paying attention.
That's cool. So you're the lovers, which is also represented by Gemini, though.
Ew.
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 The worst zodiac sign ever.
You know what's cool?
We love you, Gemmies.
On your love line, you have a 4.
Wait about something? Kaylin's like, we love you.
It's my on Cancer. I'm like mothering. I'm like, it's okay. We're just kidding.
On your love line, you have a 4, and I'm guessing right now because I just started learning this stuff today. And 4 represents, like, literally stability, structure, you know. It's not like 8. Emperor. 8 is literally, like, taking control of that structure and stability yourself. 4 is, like, finding structure and stability through other people. So, like, when it comes to love, your ideal partner, your life partner is going to be somebody that brings basically a lot to the table that you aren't good at so that you have that structure and stability. So certain numbers are better at being independent than other numbers are. That doesn't mean that's good or bad. It just means that that would be ideal for your partnership. Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, that number is the Emperor. You should definitely memorize the numbers in tarot, Kinsey, because they all tie together, like you said.
Well, the little numbers, so I was talking about your main arcana, which is your big number in the center. This is a really, really small number, which I think you're not supposed to relate to the major arcana.
Oh, well, it still ties too, because I think 4 is the Emperor, which is a very,
It seems like you would need a partner that has, like, a level of, like, power and authority, essentially. If that's true. I'll look it up. I don't know if the
And that's why I have Kinsey in my life, everyone.
Exactly, exactly. I'm a number 8, in case you don't know that.
That's crazy.
I'm just kidding. I said it earlier. It's really fucking hard. I don't even know if I'm going to learn it, but it's kind of cool.
So. I know the filing cabinet getting a little big up there, because I just told my bean to start filing that, and he was like, you know, we might have to make room by getting rid of something else.
Yeah, I might have
to. Your bean stayed too busy.
I don't think I have the room, man. I don't have the room. You got to
filter out some old shit. Toss it out.
Got to filter out all of my Percy Jackson knowledge, I guess.
No. You archive that shit in an external hard drive. What the fuck you mean? You put that in an external hard drive and you plug that bitch up for when Percy Jackson comes back.
Well, they have a show, but I've heard bad reviews about it.
Dang. Mm-hmm. Caden loves it. Caden loves it so much that he wants to read the books. He can't even read that well.
Aw, wait, that's actually so cute.
Yeah, I just gave him the first two books.
Aw. So cute.
To be a small child discovering Percy Jackson for the first time again.
Literally, my life changed. I self-projected so hard into that universe, you don't even understand.
I mild adaptive daydream too much. I would have did the same thing had I gotten into Percy Jackson.
But you know what? Like, all these kids, all these demigod children, like, none of their parents would speak to them. Like, none of them.
That's because Greek gods are, like, buttholes.
I said, my parents don't speak to me anyway.
No, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I emotionally attached myself to a story that essentially I still deeply resonated with, and I didn't even understand at the time, because guess what? The only way you could get your godly parents to talk to you is if you earned their attention.
Literally, sad.
Beginning of the book, you're told you're a demigod by somebody in your life, because, like, once you turn, like, 11, like, the stank on you is so strong that monsters can smell you're a demigod and they want to eat you because they get more powerful from eating demigods. So somebody from the camp comes and snatches you up and they're like, yeah, like, you got to come to this camp now because you're too stanky. And you're like, okay. So you go to the camp and you're like, sweet, like, my entire reality's just been flipped upside down. I guess I'm a demigod. Where's my poppy? Where's my mommy? And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't know who you're godly parent is because they haven't claimed you, and you basically have to do something that's cool enough for them to give you attention. And they're like, shit, really? And they're like, yeah, dude. Some kids go up in that bitch never claimed their whole life. Yeah, they don't even know myself. Yeah, and then you, once you get claimed, you're like, oh, sweet, I get to talk to my parents now. No, you just get to know which one of your parents were, and then you got to do more shit to get their attention. Yeah.
They just go around fucking.
They just go around fucking. I would just stay an orphan. Percy Jackson's dad sounded so hot. You don't even get it. Like, when I was reading those books, I was like, why didn't you just stay with Sally? Like, you guys were in love. Like, and every time he talked about Sally, he's like, I've never loved another person or God like that. Like, I'm like, okay, then what's your problem? He's just a player.
Kaylin, what'd you bring to the table?
I was going to say, or they needed conflict for the story. I have a few things. I have one that's not even on my talking points. I just wanted to bring up, like, to Kinsey that I really do want to do OCs, and, like, I know it's generic, but I miss my, blonde night girl that I had imagined in my head from long ago, and I want to reimagine her again, but do it right. I miss it.
Yeah.
That's one of them. But you like making OCs?
Yeah, I think I've gotten into that whole thing. I'm like, wow, I could just do this 24/7. I wish I could make money off of this.
Mm-hmm. Some of my other talking points are, I don't know if you guys have a mystery or phenomenon that you just wish that was solved or that you could understand better autistically. Mine, when I was a kid, was Jack the Ripper. I looked very deeply into it because I'm like, how did y'all not find out this whole time?
Wait, let me think about this. A conspiracy theory that I wish I knew the answer to, is you're asking?
Or a mystery or some sort of phenomenon, like something that happened.
I wanted to know if Michael Jackson was dead or not. Because
oh god, that's like a fucking...
Oh, so what does it have to be? That's something.
No, yes. That was just big, she said.
That was a big one.
Oh. I thought you meant
like... I wish I knew if Louis Tomlinson and Harry Styles ever had any romantic connection.
Wait, what a phenomenon. Because that's a good one.
Hey, like, you don't understand. This is a phenomenon.
Chowder, get out of here.
Well, that's a good one.
Get out of here.
What about you, Mariah? Pencil. What's one of yours?
That was mine.
Wait, that was one of your talking points?
Oh. No, sorry.
I see.
I'm going to cut all this out so it sounds more fluent, guys. I'm just letting you all know because we're learning. We're learning. I'm currently rewatching Heartstopper for the second time because season 3 came out last week. I don't know if y'all noticed. You probably didn't because, you know, I just be doing my Scorpio shit and disappearing. But last week on Thursday, no one could contact me because I binge watched all of Heartstopper the moment I got home from work until I went to bed at midnight.
God, I love when life is like that. I love when there's a show or a series of movies or a video game that I can just clock out and say, fuck the world, for an entire day. Like, it heals me. It changes me.
It was so nice. I'm not kidding. You guys could have called me and I would have declined the call because I was, like, that deep. But it really...
Mother's screaming at me and saying all this stuff.
I would have felt so bad because, you know, Wednesdays I don't call you guys because Survivor, and then Thursday Heartstopper came out. So I was like back to back, no call, no show, and you all. But the season was actually kind of sad compared to the first two. It was still so good. And now that the characters are older, the main character was literally giving me like gender envy. I was like, fuck. I wish I could gain muscle mass this fast.
Yeah. You know what I still haven't watched? Season 3 of Kimi ni Todoke, which is out.
Damn, yeah, that just recently came out too. You're falling behind.
Yeah, that's rough. I'm gonna do it right after this, actually.
You know, I think Colin and
I'm gonna go and watch Over the Garden Wall again.
Already watched it.
Colin and I started an anime called Dandadan.
Dandadan.
We were looking at the mangas in Barnes & Noble. It's highly inappropriate. It's kind of like Chainsaw Man mixed with Gravity Falls.
That sounds so much so fun and erotic.
It is erotic. Obviously, we don't really like it when it's necessarily like the setting of high schoolers, but, you know, Japan gives us what we got and just, you know, you gotta skip past that part in your mind. But the story part's very interesting. And Colin and I went to go watch the second episode last night. And it's like one of those Netflix shows where they're only airing, like they only put up what's aired. So they don't like drop the whole season. So we have to wait to watch more.
Like, how erotic is it though?
Well, in the first pilot episode, this cute girl, she had, like, a childhood crush named, like, Ken Taratuka, whatever his fucking name was. But she's like, man, I'm so obsessed with this boy. Like, she dates guys that, like, kind of remind her of that specific crush. And, I mean, I don't know if this is the boy or not, but she ends up crossing paths with, like, the nerdy kid at school. And they get in an argument over if aliens are real or not. And if ghosts are real or not. She believes in ghosts because her grandma's a medium. He believes in aliens because he's got all these, like, autistic, you know, hyperfixations about it and, you know, conspiracy theories. So they dare each other to go to a haunted location and a location where there's aliens. And there's some weird erotic stuff that happens because there's aliens and ghosts. But,
What kind of erotic stuff, man?
Well, the aliens kind of, grab her up and say that, like, that's their only way they could reproduce because they don't have females, like one of those moments. It's okay, she's fine, nothing bad happened, but they like kind of did that. And then the ghost at his location, so both are real in this world, ghosts and aliens, it's this like weird creepy old lady, and she literally says like, I'm gonna gobble your dong, and like goes and gobbles his dong.
Wait, she gobbled the dong?
Yeah, it doesn't show it, but, like, he kind of gets possessed by the ghost, but he gets these, like, superpowers for a second and goes and, like, saves her. I'm just telling you the whole first episode, but anyways. But then at the very, like, here's the cliffhanger. At the very end, he says something that reminds her of her childhood crush, and he's this, like, little nerdy boy with, like, glasses. But when he gets fired up, you know, she's like, ooh, I kind of like that. But he says something, and her heart, like, skips a beat. She's like, I don't know why, but that reminds me of my crush. And she's like, what's your name? And he's like, oh, my name's Ken Takakura or whatever. And she's like, it's the same name as her childhood crush. I don't know if, like, they were, if she had a crush on him as a kid and then they were, like, apart or something. Or I don't know if it's a guy that has the same name as her crush. So that's the mystery where I'm, like, leaving off on.
So it's not the fun erotic. It's kind of like the scary erotic.
Yeah, which I would say Chainsaw Man has very similar scary erotic.
Though, because, like, I like that Lady Makima, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care how scary she is, I like her.
That's fair.
Like, it,
you guys should all just watch Haikyuu, and you'll be fine.
I talked about Haikyuu today with someone at work.
What'd you talk about?
We were talking about this company that my coworker works for. She makes t-shirts for them. She owns the rights to her own t-shirts, but she makes money off of them selling them. And I was like, oh my god, I want to check this website out. And she's like, yeah, I really love it, they're really cool, and you get a, like, a good portion of it. I was like, cool. Anyways, she's like, we get to work on licenses like Pikmin and Nintendo, like Mario and Zelda. And she's like, I made a Haikyuu shirt, even though I don't watch Haikyuu. And I was like,
what? Oh my god, you didn't text me immediately.
I literally said, I said, my best friend Mariah loves Haikyuu, man. You don't even get it. Like, she's like the Haikyuu person that I know.
I don't get it. And nobody gets it.
They were like, you know, I tried watching Haikyuu, I couldn't get into it. I was like, why? I was like, I'm not even like crazy about it, but it's good. And they were like, I don't really like sports anime. And I was like, why not? I was
not
like,
even about the sports.
Well, the sports, though, not it's even fun, about though. The sport. It gets intense. Like, I think the sports is fun. I told her, I said, I love sports anime, especially when they have, specifically, when they have stories intertwined with it. Like, you know.
The sports are just there. It's all about the dynamic of, continue.
And they were like, you know, I didn't like it because they treat it like high school is the best time of your life. I was like, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's well, like if she finishes the story, she actually realized that a lot of the characters... Never mind, I don't want to spoil the ending for you guys.
Mariah's like ready to throw a hand. She's getting in Twitter beef right now over this, like, imaginary lady.
But, like, also, anime... Like, almost every anime is about fucking high schoolers, if you really think about it. Like, a lot of them are. And I think it's because in Japan, like, after high school, you're, like, forced to work the rest of your life, which essentially is also America.
That's a really good point.
I mean, that's what I've heard in videos where people have been, like, the way the school system works there, like, yeah, you can go to college, but a lot of people actually just start working right after school, and it's, like, one of the last times you have a little bit more freedom in your life, and yeah, so
that's a good point.
It just makes sense why it's just constantly made like that.
Oh, God. Well, she should watch it, and then she should read it, and then she should invest money into figures like I did, and then she should tell me her favorite character. I was telling Kaylin how I can't judge people on Stan Twitter because I'm on Stan Twitter for a fictional man.
That's funny.
I was like, listen, you could be on there tweeting Harry Styles, I love you, and at least he'll see it. But I could tweet that I love Oikawa every day, and that man doesn't exist. He'll never see it.
Gosh, you're such a nerd. One of my talking points was about, like, it's funny you say that, like, in grade school... Me being tistic, like autistic.
Tistic, that's a new one.
Me being tistic, I had like social barriers in my life. Like I felt like people were speaking like another language, like I didn't understand the way that people just got inside jokes or like knew what certain looks were. I was blind to it all, and one that like prevented me from like socializing, having friends, and like it just caused a lot of issues. Like. Unintentionally, because I just didn't really know how to navigate it. And when I was introduced to anime around like sixth grade, and then like I had like a whole year of homeschooling and I basically like stayed at home, watched anime. The way that like Japanese anime about high schoolers and just the fact that they weren't telling like a kid's story, like a Cartoon Network kid's story, they were telling like, stories with real emotions and like not adult problems, but like for example, Inuyasha, Kagome's traveling with a group of friends and had a romantic interest and runs into villains and enemies that she has to like constantly socialize and navigate like throughout it. And it's like for me, it was really helpful seeing that, and as expressive as anime is, that for a high schooler, it like cleared up a lot of those social barriers I was blind to. And when I ended up going into ninth grade, I made a lot more friends and I was socializing much better. It's weird to say it like that, but that's the truth. That's genuinely what helped me socialize.
Anime to learn how to speak.
Pretty much, because my parents didn't, or at least my mom didn't really help with it.
Good thing so. I'm not autistic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I've always been autistic. And you know what's funny? The first time I ever saw an anime photo was this, I don't even remember what it looked like. I just remember the essence of it. It was this beautiful girl with beautiful hair and like googly eyes and all that shit. And I was like, what is this crack ass cocaine? I was like, I like this so much. And I tried looking up more anime and I found more photos and I was like, this is really cool. I really like this. I want to ask other people what this is. Cause you know, I was sheltered Baptist family. And every single person in my family was like, you don't want none of that. Stop touching that. So then I was like, oh yeah, yeah, man, I'll never watch anime. I don't know what you're talking about. And then late at night, I would look up photos of anime people kissing and my heart would literally flutter at the romantic gestures. I was now clearly there's another side to anime that I didn't know at the time of just achi people, but also there's a lot of romantic ones. Okay, so I hid my anime love for a long time and then watched Naruto my junior year and had completely transitioned to loving anime.
I wish I could remember how I learned how to speak because I don't think it was anime, I think it was the Teletubbies.
Stop it, Ryan. You make me sound like I like was. Like wetting my diaper, like my whole life.
I don't remember like media I consumed at that young. I remember getting made fun of for watching Teletubbies when I was in first grade, and I don't remember. You know what it was, Ken? I learned how to speak from playing Dragon Ball Z on the GameCube. That was mine, which is why I speak like Trunks. Clearly,
that's funny. I mean, I think I like hearing stories too about like the discovery of anime because. It's weird, like, the new generation is, like, they're spoiled. It's already socially acceptable. It's in it's in Walmarts now. When anime, there's an anime section at Walmart, not even in the new anime section. Even the t-shirt section was a social shock to me. And, like,
yeah, a lot of people could run around, like, Naruto, and they'd make fun of him, and I'd be like, that's not my brother, please.
Yeah.
Because, like, it wasn't cool.
But, like... For me, there's this girl who, at school, I watched her get bullied, and, like, because I have a strong sense of justice, I would, like, she was, like, one of my family friend's daughters. I would, like, sit with her, and she definitely was on the spectrum with me. She maybe was on a different, like, side of it, but, like, we were both there hanging out together. I would say the three of us, we're kind of hanging on the similar side of it. But anyways, we were... spending the night over at each other's house, and she puts Inuyasha and Fullmetal Alchemist on, and I'd never even seen pictures, Kinsey, of anime, besides Pokemon and Naruto, because that shit was, like, you know, on the mainstream, like, kids' channels. But these were, like, Adult Swim cartoons, so in my brain, one, I felt like we weren't supposed to be watching it. Two, my perception of Adult Swim was always, like, Family Guy and raunchy... garbage humor. So I didn't know what I was going to expect. I did not know what was coming at all. And when I saw Kagome and Inuyasha fighting because she was trying to bandage his wound and he was shirtless like for a second, I was like, what am I watching? Like it made me like genuinely very curious, like because they definitely were leading into that enemies to lovers and it piqued my fucking autism for sure. And I, like, binge the shit out of those two after.
I think the difference is, like, some of these animes are more developed. Like, I feel like me watching Dragon Ball Z as a kid was, like, the story was just that. Like, I feel like it wasn't as deep. And then when I accidentally stumbled across Inuyasha, I was like, okay, this has good sauce in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes it a little different. I don't know.
It came hand in hand for me because after I ran out of Inuyasha and Fullmetal Alchemist, I was like, "What's more? What's next? I need more, more."
Yeah, but wait, I feel guys, like that you don't get me to
just made a very loud noise, and I had to go check what the fuck was going on.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, they knocked over one of the traps Kaylin and I made.
Oh gosh! What goofballs!
No, what wretched people!
Wretched people. I haven't seen Ozzy all day.
Oh, yeah?
He's been sitting in his cat tree, and then Kamari set up her tent, and he's been sitting in that tent. He don't even love me anymore.
Maybe he had a long day.
What the fuck? He been home alone. What he doing that's long?
Napping.
Napping, yet.
Running.
Running. Who knows what he be doing?
All right, what are we doing?
We're going through talking points.
I know, but do we have any other talking points you want to talk about?
Yeah, we do. And, I mean, we started recording around, like, 7:30. So how long has it been since we've been recording?
It's been about 40 minutes. So we can go for, like, another 10 if we'd like.
Okay, I'll read my other talking points. Let me read the last ones, because I think there's only, like, four left. And then you guys pick which one you want to talk about. If you had to eat one food daily for the rest of your life, what would it be? What song or artist will always remind you of our friendship? Celebrity crushes, and how has your view on love changed from when you were young to now?
Oh my god, these are all great questions.
It progressively, like, got more in deep.
Yeah, it did.
Like, I was right, like, one-word answer, two-word answer, sentence, thoughts.
Do you want us to answer each one, and then after mine, I answer each one, you get to say what yours were?
Let's start with the least deep one. If you had to eat one food daily for the rest of your life, what would it be? I already know Mariah's.
Pizza, pizza, pizza. I'd eat pizza every day. I'd eat that shit breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. I could eat it every day. Pizza. Pizza is my answer. And my second answer would be tacos, but I could just make a taco pizza and I'd be fine.
I would eat chicken parmesan sandwich every day.
Very specific. I would get sick.
Between my answer is I could change it up. What are you doing with the chicken parm every day?
I told you that I'm good with it. Now, like, you kind of cheated mine because it's like, what if there was a specific kind of pizza you had to eat every day? What one would it be?
That wasn't the question.
But what if it was, what would it be?
If it was, it would be a plain pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, there's breakfast pizza.
Bitch. Okay.
You can get like a biscuit, like kind of base, put some gravy on it, sausage.
Because I want a pizza so bad tonight. I don't know why. I'm craving one. I'm going to go buy one after this.
I don't know if y'all seen the tweet. But every time I tweet that picture of that K-pop artist eating pizza, that means I'm currently eating pizza. So if you've seen it excessively, that's why.
That's funny.
Sometimes I go through and I see how many times I tweet the picture and I go, that's embarrassing.
Go look at my recent tweet.
Okay, hold on. I just want you guys to know that. If you ever see me tweet that, that means I'm eating pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much, Kinsey. Today's Naruto's birthday, everyone. Happy birthday, Naruto.
Happy birthday, Naruto. Mine is potatoes, and specifically because of what Mariah said, you can change it up.
No, I feel like that's like a little too vague. Wait, can you repeat the question to me, Kaylin?
If you had to eat one food daily for the rest of your life, what would it be? Oh. Now, you can have other stuff with it, but you have to eat it daily. So I could have mashed potatoes on the side of something. I could have french fries one day.
See, that question got reworked for my brain now.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I still think Kinsey's, like, I would end up wanting to vomit after like 2 weeks of chicken parm sandwiches.
I love chicken parm sandwiches.
All you can do, Kinsey, is like change the bread, change the sauce, change the way you season the chicken. But like at the end of the day, it's still chicken parm.
No, mm-hmm. I'm gonna put some chutney on it, man.
I don't even like chicken parm, bro.
The next one is, what song or artist will always remind you of our friendship?
Hozier.
Now, pick one specifically for both of us.
Of our friendship.
Okay, I think Hozier is for all three of us. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, now go on.
Taylor Swift, obviously.
Okay.
For Mariah, give me a fat second.
Me a fat second.
It has to represent. Can it represent our friendship?
Yeah.
Or does it represent Mariah? Okay. Because then, if it's representing our friendship, then I guess Taylor Swift wouldn't be for Kaylin because I don't share Taylor Swift with her the way she likes it.
Unless, like, you want to count like the sad girl playlist I've made for you. Okay, it reminds you of me.
For Mariah and I, it's Phantom of the Opera. For me personally, I know you didn't get to experience it first, Kaylin, but when I first spoke to Mariah and I didn't even have to explain it to her, she said, I've been looking for you everywhere. Yeah. Like, how did you know that? And I'm like, yes, I've been looking for you everywhere. How did you know that? So I think a Phantom of the Opera, I know it's not trendy, but it's legit.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. I want some of what y'all are having. I don't care.
It's One Direction, though. One Direction and Justin Bieber.
You know, I would support One Direction, but Kinsey doesn't know the last album. So I would say Justin Bieber is better if you didn't want to do Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. If we're going on trendy, like recent Justin Bieber, if we're going on just having an immaculate taste, Phantom of the Opera, then for Kaylin, I don't think I really shared an artist with Kaylin.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think Kaylin's that big of a music person, so it's hard for me to answer. Like,
I have answers for Kinsey, so this is heartbreaking. I'm like, you don't remember?
Are you talking about that Jack Stauber guy?
No.
All right, who?
Adventure Time playlist.
Okay, that counts. I was just thinking of an actual artist, but that Kaylin's actually correct. Kaylin and I used to sing the house song all the time, and she would listen to me sing Adventure Time songs all the time and never tell me to stop, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you got with Mariah?
Mine for Mariah is Harry Styles, because I do have a few Harry Styles playlists on my shit, and it did link me to having One Direction slideshow presentations from Mariah, so anytime I hear Harry Styles in the story, I always think of Mariah.
That's funny. Last question. You said...
there's Celebrity Crush, but we can skip that one. It's kind of like mid. And then, unless somebody wants to answer.
Hozier.
My Celebrity Crush... don't have an answer at this moment, and I don't want to sit here in silence.
Mine, when I was a kid, used to be Orlando Bloom, but...
Oh, currently... When I was a kid, I watched Catwoman for the first time in my life, and I saw Halle Berry put on that black sweatsuit and Catwoman, and I was sold.
It's black sweatsuit. Got it.
Black leather suit. Sorry, it wasn't sweatsuit. It was a black leather suit.
That's funny. And how has your view on love and relationships evolved from when you were a kid to now or younger?
Do you want to go first, Mariah, or me?
Kinsey will probably have a longer answer than me, so I'll go first. I don't know. I think I've always really valued my platonic friendships, and I think even more now as an adult, I think they're very important. I used to get made fun of for thinking that platonic friendships were very important, but I still will die on that hill that my platonic friendships are more important than my romantic friendships. But... unfortunately, I still am the traumatized 12-year-old that still gets kind of scared about love. So, why are you laughing?
Oh, I was breathing.
I will never get serious again on this podcast.
I was breathing.
Rye's moon sign is in the 11th house. So, I just feel like, which is like the house that also represents friends. So, I feel like emotionally, that's been the easiest thing for her to really deeply get into. And then I think her Venus is in the second house. So, that bitch loves money. That's what she loves.
I just very much value like my friends, and I think it's always been something that's important to me, but I think as I've gotten older, it's gotten easier to maybe accept love. I think that's the word. I don't like how these people on the podcast are getting to know me. This is disgusting. Versus younger Mariah that didn't think that I can simply be loved without earning it.
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like I think about love all the time, but today I was actually thinking about how love has changed in the definition for me, so I find it so interesting you asked that question. But when I was younger, I used to think that love, which I was kind of half right, half wrong, I felt like love was like you find someone who notices all the great things about you that nobody else has recognized, and then they celebrate it when they're with you. But I didn't realize that love is way, way bigger than that. It's not just like finding someone who absolutely adores you for the good things about you, but like someone who really loves you can look at when you're being upset or sad or any not positive emotion and look at you as a person and not simply as an angry person or a depressed person, aka an energy where they feel like they're not benefiting from you. I feel like someone who loves you will look at you in that state and love you so just as much in that state. There's like not one drop of love that is left alone.
Which is why I think you should be pushing the idea of platonic love at such a young age, because I think romantic love at the age of 12 shouldn't be a thing. But if you can correctly learn how to love a friend to that capacity, then you'll know how to love like a partner, right?
For two, Mariah, though, like I've had friendships where actually one of my worst friendships, I was only ever wanted when I was beneficial to them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't just happen in romance, although I think it happens a lot easier and actually more often in young romances, but in friendships that also happens too, where people just take advantage of you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I think it's important for you as a young, like people have children, to like really push that platonic romance, because, or that platonic love, because it does help you learn those things easier at a time. And I think if you're not capable of loving a friend, it's hard to love a partner. I think when I look at you guys specifically, I'm like, I love the highs, the lows, the fights, everything. Like, it continues to grow to where I am. And so now being in a romantic relationship, I think I can get to a better understanding of things versus where it'd be like, this is frustrating that you do this, or it's frustrating that I do this, or it's frustrating that we respond this way, or whatever the emotion is. Not just frustration, but now I can simply, I feel like I have a better understanding because I love my friends with so much passion, where it's like, this is what love feels like, so I know I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. I also think I learned that love is a choice, but not in the way that people make it out to be, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not like you choose one random bitch and you're like, I choose you, and you're miserable the rest of your life. No. When you really love somebody, you're making the choice to to love them during those lows as well, because you love them regardless. So that's why it feels like a choice to me. But there's also the other end of the stick of, if I love you, it actually was never really a choice. It's a choice for me to stay and work with you through our lows. But
yeah, the
love,
things,
I don't think, is ever a choice.
When Kinsey comes to me on a bad day and I'm also having a bad day, it's still my choice to sit here and be like, I love you and I'm going to be here for you because you came to me and you needed that, versus me being like, no, I'm having a bad day, get away from me. And I'm like, that's not something you say to someone you love, right?
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with both of you. I see lots of, or both of those in my relationship with Colin, and I think that it's a very healthy, it's romantic, but it's platonic, like, I feel like, kind of at the front of it, like, you know, obviously I have romantic feelings, but, like, he's my friend, like, very deeply my friend, and with that, too, like, living with someone 24 hours, you know, you gotta have that, but also, it's so normalized now, like, even just the other night, it could have even been last night, I can't remember, like, going through, like, period hormones and just feeling like, or whatever hormones, like whatever you're going through, and going through waves of sadness or anger or whatever's happening, and him asking like, what's wrong? And it's like, you know, I'm hormonal, like that, like I don't have a reason of being sad, I don't have a reason of being angry, I just feel this wave of like, you know, whatever going through me without reason. So it's that, and don't feel like uncomfortable by that presence. Like, I'm not stomping around trying to make you feel uncomfortable. It's just, you know, my body going through something, you know, and making sure the other person feels like comfortable around whatever sort of, like Kinsey said, you're still a person at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if like you are angry in the moment or sad in the moment. It's like he still loves me for me, you know.
Yeah. I give you guys so much credit, even in, like, my current relationship. Like, there'll be times I'm talking to June about stuff, and I'll be like, yeah, I mean, thanks to Ken and Kinsey, I properly know how to communicate this emotion that I'm feeling. And it's just because, like, that love that I had before getting to the romantic relationship, where I have so much patience with the people I'm in, and they understand me, and they help with that. And I think even if I had more romantic relationships growing up, I think that could have helped, but I think it's just a different capacity now than if I was a little heartstruck in 16-year-old that like thought I was in love when I met someone and then found out that like I'm still growing and changing and I actually don't know this person, versus now where I'm like, I am very comfortable with myself, the people in my life are very comfortable with me, and I need to make sure I'm like comfortable with that romance as well.
I think if I could go back and tell younger me like how to shift their perspective on love into a more healthier mindset, would be to just tell them how young they are, how they have all the time in the world, and it's not a race. Like, if you're doing it because everyone else around you is in a relationship or they're saying they're getting married, saying they're engaged. It's like, you don't have to be. You can just have fun. Have some fun right now. Like, at college, have some fun finishing high school. You don't need to marry the first guy you're with, you know? Like, it's okay to go through breakups, and it doesn't mean, like, the end of the world, and you're only ever gonna change. And, like, if you're going to already change as a person, like, you might as well see what person you become, because that person could possibly not be compatible with the person that they're gonna become if you're just, like, in high school.
In high school, you is growing and changing, and they've never seen more than high school, right? I remember I got made fun of so much from my friends from, like, not being in a serious relationship through high school and shit like that. And, you know, I am glad that I, like, didn't have anything like that, because I do feel like I am such a different person. If I would have stayed dating the guy that I met in high school, I'd be miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried. I was engaged to the first boy I was with in high school. And I think, especially, like, traditional Christian families or Southern families, like, the idea of getting married and having kids is, like, so much more pushed upon, like, this picturesque dream you're supposed to have. And I feel like I kind of took the bait for a second. Like, I would tell my younger self, like, it is not a race and you're going to change so much. So, like, why don't you see who you change into and grow into by the time you're 25 and your frontal lobe is finished setting in before you, like, commit to anything? Yeah, like, obviously, you know, can have relationships, but, like, don't go get married.
Yeah, and I think divergent people's frontal lobes don't develop till they're 30 anyway, Kaylin.
I can totally see it. But
what the fuck does that mean?
No, I'm neurodivergent.
I'm just kidding.
I think the funniest thing ever is that I learned the most about love through my friends compared to when I was in a relationship. Because when I was in a relationship, I was looking for something. Like, I was looking for, it almost felt a little transactional in the sense of, like, I need this person to do this, this, and this for me, which there are things you should require out of a partner, but you should be able to give yourself those things regardless of if you're single or with someone. So, with my friends, I always say that Kaylin was the first real friend that I had where I had to start learning that stuff, that, like, this person who makes me so happy, like, literally, like, bouncing off the walls, the happiest I've ever been, can sometimes also piss me off, or sometimes it's just not in the best mood, and that doesn't mean they're not a good person and that I should try them or something. That's like, I'm not always going to be in the best mood. And it's insane that I've taken so much from my friendship with both of you guys.
You're totally right.
And translated it to what I want in a relationship and what I'm looking for, compared to when I look at my past romantic relationships, I'm just looking at more like, oh, I just didn't really like your guys' personalities, but I didn't actually learn a lot of how I want to treat somebody through those relationships, except for one of them. But the majority of them, no, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that I'm an adult, you know, I used to not say I love you to anyone. I used to not hug my friends or nothing. And now I'm like, I'm not throwing the word out there, but, like, I think I find love in so many things and more than just, like, romance, friendships. I'm like, yeah, I love this. I love that person. I love the thing that this person's turning into or this event's coming into. And I feel like my Scorpio heart has opened up a little more to the adult version of me, that the concept of love versus what I had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very nice to have, I guess.
I definitely used to confuse, when I was young, I used to confuse love with just only adoration, like only praise, only, like, you can only like the most positive sides of me. And in the moments, especially when I was first experiencing it with Kaylin, when she was seeing the worst sides of me and she still chose to love me because she's like, I know how great of a person you are and this isn't you, it like healed a part of myself that I felt really ashamed of, where I knew that there were sides of me that weren't that great, which is probably why I wasn't good at accepting unconditional love, because I didn't understand, like, the math didn't make sense that someone could love me when I'm being maybe not my best self. And when she would, like, look at me and talk to me and still treat me as someone that loved me, even though low-key I had anger issues at the beginning of our friendship, I was like, oh my god, this person loves me so much and believes that, you know, this isn't me and that I can do better, you know?
Bro, I'm in an autistic nonverbal like kind of tear up right now, like kind of just speechless. Yeah, that's the word, speechless. Like, that's
Kaylin helped me find my cup.
She did help you find your cup. Kaylin was like on a whole let's help Mariah find her cup journey for quite some time.
Well, both of you. I mean, I remember it happening in, huh?
I helped Kaylin find love.
Well, I was going to say, you both helped me in two different instances, one with just Kinsey and one with both of you, but, like, and I still struggle with my trauma of, like, I think we all do, of, like, the way our parents raised us, but, like, especially when it comes to conflict and feeling like I need to defend myself to prove that, like, I didn't mean to hurt you, it wasn't intentional, or, like, whatever the fuck it was I was defending, like, my... whatever my perspective was, because autistically, I feel like autistic people really see things from their perspective very strongly. And I think that you guys taught me that conflict is okay and that it's normal. I'm still going to be loved even after we go through the conflict and to not be so scared of it.
Yeah, Kaylin and Kinsey have both showed me that I'm lovable despite being difficult sometimes.
That's kind of what we all just said just now.
Mariah straight up, like, out of nowhere, I won't go into details about stories, but would, like, honestly question how much we loved her and be like, dude, guys, I can leave right now if you need me to, and would, like, up and leave. And
packed up all my shit. I said, I think I'm being too difficult.
I remember when she left to go to school, I was like, I don't know why this bitch thinks I'm not going to call her every day. Like, I really like her. And then with Kaylin, I had to shake Kaylin by her shoulders when it was, like, going on almost 2 years to our friendship where she's, like, I snagged her away. First of all, I lived with her sophomore year. Then I snagged her away from Cedar Point because we both hated our jobs and we just dicked around all summer at my house. And then I, like, was still friends with her junior year and I had to, like, shake her by the shoulders and be like, Kaylin, I've already decided that I love you and that you're a part of my life. So I don't know why you keep questioning it and I'm going to need you to stop because I'm trying to have fun with you right now and you're really bringing the party down when you're stressing out.
I've never had a friend not leave. Like, that's the truth. Like, this, it was the first time
it anchored.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad to hear, Kaylin.
Kaylin was, like, the first friend I would casually say, I love you, too.
Casually. Like, if you have friends that you love, it's just...
I'd be like, what do you mean? What do you...
I come from an I love you family.
I don't.
My
dad would say, you already said I love you today.
But you have to pay for it.
I would say it, and then I would say it again, and my dad would be like, you already said it, and I'd be like, damn, I can't say it again.
We're not promised tomorrow.
Sometimes the walls come down, though, and my cancer really comes out, so, you know. I actually was the first one to tell June that I loved them, so props to me.
Yep, you did it at that special little island, Kelly's Island.
No, I didn't. That's where they said I love you. I said I love them in their house.
Oh, and they were ready? They said it at Kelly's Island?
We did. It was actually really sweet. We were in the ocean.
I would actually stop talking to somebody if they said they weren't ready to say it back to me. Not because I don't like them. I would out of
the secondhand embarrassment just
I hear horror stories about that, but I was mentally prepared. I said, if they don't say it back, Mariah, it's okay. And then I didn't say it. And then a week later, I told them, and then I was like, damn. But it was actually really cute. We were in the lake, and I got a tour of Kelly's Island where they grew up as a kid. And they, like, gave me a whole spiel about how this was, like, their favorite place and how it's something really important to them. And they're like, this is all really things that I love. And I'm glad that I was able to show you. And then they said, I love you. And I was like, I'll drown right here in the lake.
Aw. You know, I think there's, like, I get it. I would feel the secondhand embarrassment, too. And I would, like, be like, yeah, my feelings aren't hurt. That's fine.
I've learned to not totally be shameful be that about way. Expressing my love in my adult. That answers your question, Kaylin. I've learned to let go of the game. That I can love things and openly love it without caring about the reciprocation.
Mariah, literally, I second that so hard. There's like a level of vulnerability that I was not able to obtain until my recent older years of like
even about things I love. Like I can openly admit that I love something even if it's not like if it's a niche thing or if it's something like that other people might not love.
Or Oikawa.
Yes, Kaylin. I can openly admit to people, whether I care or not, this is something I enjoy, this is something I love, and it's something close to me, and if you don't get it, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get it and you're going to make fun of me for it, then you're not the people I want around in my life, you know?
Yeah. Also, just like, well, hold on, I want to finish Mariah accidentally. Like, she didn't cut me off, she was just finishing a thought, but I was going to say that I think it's really healthy that in that instance with Mariah that they allowed their partner to process how they felt instead of demanded that transactional like validation just to feel good or to hear the words.
Of course, like, that's so healthy. Fire. I think I'd be embarrassed maybe for like the 2 days and I'd need to go like sit by myself, but I'd get over it. I'm just saying I would be embarrassed. I'm a very sensitive person. And when somebody like doesn't feel the way I feel right away, I do freak out, but it doesn't mean that I would throw the whole relationship away.
Yeah, like I think younger me would have been so upset. Like I just let you into so many walls and so much vulnerability and you said nothing.
Younger me would be like, I need to actually leave this relationship right
younger
now.
Me would have younger me would have shamed them into and guilt them into saying it because to make me, I'm being honest, to make myself feel better. Like I'd be like, you don't love me back? What kind of boyfriend are you? Like, yeah. I totally would have done that. That's the truth. I'm being honest. Like, I was that kind of girlfriend in high school, which, again, why should a girl like that be trying to get married so fast? Like, not just about, like, the bad boyfriends. Like, maybe you need to grow up a bit too, girl.
The kind of girl I was in high school was, like, I didn't understand this at the time, but I was like, if you love me, you'll always be there for me, and you'll be everything I need you to be. Because my parents didn't even give me what I considered the bare minimum of what I needed emotionally. So I was like, I put it all on my partner, not to just do the bare minimum, but to do it all. Because I just felt like I was never getting any of it mm-hmm. in my childhood. And I look back and I'm like, it sucks because I did truly feel unloved in those moments when people couldn't show up for me the way I wanted them to. And I look mm-hmm. back and I'm like, if you just knew how much your own self-love actually, like, fills so many of those needs, and then you can have someone around in much less of a, you know, needy way, in more of a healthy way, like, you would be so much better off, you know?
I really learned that in this relationship with Colin about, like, because I caught myself in the earlier years of our relationship, like, still seeking that, like, make me feel better when I needed that kind of, like, not necessarily support, but that's how I would justify it. When really sometimes it's like, he's not going to know how to make you feel better. He's not a therapist. He's not going to always, like, he can be there for you in the best way that he can. But, like, if you have problems going on and he can't fix it, you cannot mm-hmm. take it out on that person. Because sometimes you're right. Like, they can't give you every little thing you need. They're just a human. They're just a person. And I learned, like, at the end of the day, it's like, I love him. I wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. And
yeah, not to get, like, even deeper. Oh, sorry, keep going again.
Oh, no, you're fine. I had to give him those freebies. So now when I'm, like, in whatever hormonal ragey state I'm in and I want him to say whatever I'm being emotional about to make me feel better and he can't, I genuinely pull out a little coupon that says, like, let this man go and, like, you know, like, let him go. Get away from the situation and go take a bath, go breathe, whatever you need to do. Like, let him be. He can't fix your problem. Like, I pull out this coupon and I'm like, here, like, give me some space.
To dive even deeper with your question, Caitlin, I think that even kind of goes hand in hand with, like, learning more self-love when you define the words of love. I think being in the relationships that I have now have even encouraged more self-love than I had in the past. Like, I've always wanted to have it. But then as I get older, you get more. And then having you guys and even June, like, encouraging that self-love of, like, trying to understand myself or what I like or who I am now. Aww. And getting pushed to, like, discover those on my own. You know, like, I can come to you and say, like, oh, I feel this, that, and the third. But, like, the truth is you don't have the answers to that. So it's more like my own self-love and loving those parts of me, even if they seem like they don't fit yet or they're not 100% complete yet.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to kill myself after this podcast episode, so.
Bro, yeah, I'm so proud of all of you.
Follow up our podcast after this very vulnerable episode, please.
Y'all already got me after the Hosier episode. Do you need any more?
Dude. Was the last question too. We were literally dicking around the whole time talking about, like, alien ghost, like, hentai, like,
our friendships though, because we have a Scorpio moon here, a Cancer moon here, and a Virgo moon, and that's the definition of deep fucking emotions.
That's my big story right there.
What'd you say?
Mm-hmm.
That's literally my big three right there.
Yep.
That's, I exist like that every day.
I always talk about how Mariah's chart is like seems incredibly hard to deal with. Except for Virgo Mars. Her Virgo Mars literally and her Libra Venus are the two bitches on her side, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Everything else is out to get me every day.
And then Kaylin's also a shit show as well. But she's very happy. And yeah, I think
that's the difference. That's the difference.
That's the difference.
It is blissful like, ignorance.
Blissful ignorance. What would you guys describe my chart as?
Kizzy, yours depends on who's in charge that day. Your Leo's popping off, you're fine.
You're right.
The second that Virgo moon kicks in, mm-mm.
Girl, the second that, like, I need a straitjacket for her. Like, she needs, like, she needs some milk.
The Virgo-Sag combination, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Impulsive, but also hating yourself for being impulsive. Virgo-Leo competition, perfect. Pops off. You're happy. Never been better. The sun, bro. It just depends.
It just depends who's driving, literally. Yeah.
I think feels like your big three aren't battling as much as mine.
If we're having a serious conversation at this moment, I genuinely think that according to, like, what's it called? Requirements for certain mental health issues, I think I have BPD. But guess what? I don't like to put myself in a box. And I'm not going to let some silly little paper tell me who I am. I'm just very emotionally intense, and sometimes I have some highs, and sometimes I have some lows.
If Kinsey gets diagnosed with BPD, like, the way that's gonna, like, I'm gonna have a whole revelation moment where I'm like, wow, I thought she was just being really silly when she was, like, screaming in the kitchen, like, 2020, like, like, and I loved her through it, like, I'm like, I'm gonna have a whole moment.
But also, at the same time, like, I'm not saying that mental disorders don't exist. I'm saying that I believe that you don't have to let those things tell you who you become or how you change. Because the funny thing is when I look at who I was 4 years ago, I was much more severely BPD, like very bad, you know. And I'm sure you guys are laughing right now because you guys do see me through some highs and lows. But come on, Kaylin, compared to the person I was when I moved in with you, I'm a lot more emotionally regulatory.
Regularly.
The therapist wanted to diagnose you with BPD, and I said, nah, we got other issues to worry about.
That just seems a little too big of a problem. I'd rather just, like, label it as a silly, goofy time and find solutions to make myself feel better, which have helped me tremendously. I feel like I've figured out something that at least keeps me grounded. And I think
everything's different for everyone, person. You know? Some people need it, and some people just force their brain to figure stuff out.
When I was, like, drugged as a child on some ADHD meds, straight up, like, my doctor said, if you want to stop taking these meds, you better figure out different solutions to, what's it called? Focus. And so I really started trying to put my head to the wheel and figure it out.
Wheel.
Did you feel like you figured it out?
It was, I needed help, that's for sure, and I had, luckily, shortly after, a really awesome math teacher that taught me some, I don't know, she let me have a safe place to fail while I formed a good routine that helped me throughout the rest of my high school and college career, because I did fail her class the first time, but she called my mom and said, do not ground her, don't get her in any trouble, she's trying her best, but, like, I do have to fail her. And she very much, like I said, allowed me a very safe place to fail and keep trying again.
That's nice. All people like that need, really, is to let go of the seriousness and have a safe place to mess up, because I really feel like that's where most of the hiccups come from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've noticed that when I'm incredibly comfortable in the place that I'm learning or trying new things at, all of a sudden I become, like, incredibly talented, or, like, things can run a lot faster for me.
Yeah, you gotta feel safe first, because if it's scary, then, like, it's gonna just cause anxiety, and especially, I don't know if you guys can remember what your brains were like throughout school, especially when you felt confused. No. Mine felt like a scribbly fucking mess, and I felt like I had, like, blinders on. I couldn't see anything. Like, that's what it felt like. And so it's like, the teachers were looking annoyed because they're explaining it for the 1,000th time, and I'm looking at them like they're speaking, like, another language. Like, that's what it feels like being on the spectrum, learning from neurotypical teachers.
Yeah, for me, it just kind of depended because I feel like there was a level of focus I would get in out of fear of, like, oh my God, I have to, like, get, like, pass this test and do really well because I don't want to piss off my parents. And then I remember junior year, I completely dropped all expectation. I stopped giving a fuck. I said, this is the stupidest shit in the world. I don't care. Like, fuck this. And I stopped because basically I didn't want to be stressed all the time. I just felt like every time I walked into school, I felt like I was about to run a race because that's the level of focus I'd have to have if I was going to learn the neurotypical way. And when I stopped giving a fuck, my grades also dropped, but I was also significantly less stressed. So I was like, I don't really care.
You're like, what do you want me to do?
Like, literally freshman and sophomore year, I was on the, is it called the principal's list? It's like you have like a 4.0 or higher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on the principal's list. Like, my shit was, like, smacked, man. And then junior and senior year, I said, fuck this.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, that put us over time, all those talking points. I feel proud of myself.
Now let's go look at the auroras.
Aurora Borealis. I'm gonna go eat dinner. I'm hungry. What about you guys?